And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. We're going to talk about, like, stuff. You know, I tell you, this Bradley Manning thing, I want to make sure that we have an understanding of what's going on, a little controversy going there, and we have people that are inside explain everything to us. I need to check and make sure I got Angela Keaton on. Angela, I got you there?
Can you hear me?
There we go. I'm so lucky. Okay. Tell me everything. Angela Keaton from antiwar.com, but you also moonlight as an activist, as outright libertarians. Go ahead and tell us about that. Tell us about the torch parade coming up from Bradley. Tell me everything.
Oh, I want to tell you everything, but I do want to defer a little bit on Freedom Torch US. And I want everyone to remember Freedom Torch US. To my colleague, Mike Shipley, who's the National Secretary of Outright Libertarians, who I think is also on the line, just to tell everyone what will be going on tomorrow.
FreedomTorch.us. You know, by the way, I was trying to get, hold on, I was just on Rise Up Radio with John Bush, and he was asking me all about the freedom-oriented history of and everything, and I said, you know what? Angela Keaton. So you're going to be getting a call from him if you're willing to give him the down and dirty on all this kind of stuff for the past couple of decades. Please do, because you probably know more than me. This is, and let's go ahead and talk about some background on this. We have Bradley Manning. I did not know, not that it matters, that he was gay. So when it came out that various organizations were saying, hey, man, he would be a great spokesperson for and have him, and they're like, no, tell us the controversy, how this came about. Why is this an issue?
Well, what happened was at the end of April, San Francisco Pride, which is one of the largest Pride parades, Pride happens every June. It falls around the – it's a celebration of LGBT accomplishments, but mostly – it's to remember the anniversary of the Stonewall riots, where drag queens and gay bar, you know, and gay bar patrons beat the living hell out of cops who came in and raided their bar for what they decided was going to be the last damn time they were going to tolerate this nonsense, and then took the riot out in the street. This was an actual riot versus the state, and this happened in June 1969, a beautiful anarchist act that does get forgotten a little bit among American anarchist history, but certainly a key of LGBT history. Well, in San Francisco Pride made an announcement that Bradley Manning was going to be the grand marshal, to which many of us, you know, stood up and applauded this amazing statement about patriotism and love for the Constitution and what pride really means in terms of heroism and courage against actual oppression. But within hours of that decision making, the executive director of San Francisco Pride said that not only would Bradley Manning not be the grand marshal, but anyone being making too many overt displays of support for support for Manning at the parade would not be allowed. And the person who made the decision to allow Bradley Manning to be the grand marshal would be punished. And then literally what you saw for the first time, and people talked about this actually being the case, but what you really saw was a split between the gay civil rights establishment and sort of the working class and grassroots of the LGBT community. And a lot of people wrote, you know, some fairly really good analytical and critical critical views of what the gay rights establishment has become, particularly Glenn Greenwald and Justin Raimondo, wrote some really good articles about this, the links of which I think you provided to the show's producer, which are hopefully on the site, so people can read and see what, you know, can see some of the details in this. Because these are libertarian matters, to be very, very clear. I mean, we are talking about state oppression and the different groups of people being oppressed by the state.
Okay, this is one thing that I'm interested in. Why would they change their mind? I mean, why did this become an issue? They did it. They go, hey, Bradley Manning. Like, everybody go, whoa, one, I did not know he was gay. Not that it matters, but I'm going, all right, cool. This is a very interesting statement. That, all right, cool. That's wow, right? And then no, we're not going to do it. And I'm like, who said that? And then it started a thing. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, by Bradley Manning's own admission, of course, if you look at the chat logs by the unscrupulous Adrian Lamo, we know that Bradley Manning describes himself as a gay libertarian computer, a gay atheist libertarian computer nerd. So, I mean, we kind of know exactly the kind of thing. I think we do kind of understand who Bradley Manning is, and that's a key to the and what he did. It's a key to why people reacted so outrageously. First of all, the gay establishment is more wedded to the idea of making sure that don't ask, don't tell was knocked down in favor of service and the complete service to the empire, complete capitulation to the state's highest treasured value, which of course is serving in the military and going overseas and killing someone. It also goes into the issues too of what masculinity is. A lot of people in the gay community feel, you know, and this is, I mean, you can, white supremacist writer James Kirchick talks about this. I mean, this is a, you know, Bradley Manning to insecure men is this horrible example of what happens when you put gay men in the military. They'll become hysterical. They'll do things like, oh, I don't know, reveal the truth of the war crime that is Iraq, that is the worst thing that the United States has ever done since Vietnam, where hundreds of thousands of people were killed and we have millions of refugees because of this horrible, horrible war crime against the Iraqi people by the United States government, something which we all pay for financially and which we're all somewhat culpable in. Bradley Manning found the information and liberated it and gave us exactly the information that all of us deserve so that we knew the truth of what was happening in Iraq.
You know, this is, there had to be, I mean, you're kind of skating around it, or I'm not asking it right. They said they retracted this and somebody did that. Why?
Well, I mean, we can only speculate to people's motives, but the fact is there are many, many people who think what Bradley Manning did, they'll say things erroneously, like he caused deaths in Afghanistan or Iraq, which of course is complete, utter nonsense. It's just something that gets repeated a lot, like, you know, Iraq had a role in 9/11. It's one of those things that, you know, it's oft repeated, but there's of course no evidence for it. But there are many people who, you know, it's allegiance, Ernie. You're challenging the state religion. There's only one God, and that is the state. And if you don't believe in that God or you thwart that God, you know, may something help you. That's what this is about. It's all about empire, Ernie. Everything comes back to the war. Everything.
Oh, to put a point on it, was there some influence, pressure? You know, you're not with the program at a organizational level, and they like, man, you better get that man off of your thing, or what?
I can be ugly about it, but I'll just say it. The gay civil rights industry in D.C. represents a rather small group of rich gay white males, and has very little to do with the LGBT community. And it's almost a joke to talk about the LB and the T, because we know what it means is a very, very narrow segment of the gay community and has no particularly interest in anybody else. And its most important value is social acceptance by the United States government. That's what happens to every liberation movement. I mean, I see this as a feminist, I've seen feminism completely corrupted in service to, you know, for example, became feminist somehow to bomb the living hell out of Afghani women to liberate them.
Okay, so I get it. So it's kind of like, you know, we need to have a gay marriage so that we can be equally enslaved like heterosexual marriages. Yeah, we want Uncle Sam to lay hands on us and sanction it. And prima nocte with Uncle Sam, I'm going to force menage trois on your wedding night with the man. I'm on, okay. How about we abandon all that crap?
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Now, we have a couple other guests on this issue. Mike Shipley is a local activist libertarian here in Arizona, and his name kept coming up. And all of a sudden, I got John Bechtel from, I think, San Francisco, and he said, hey, man, Mike there is local. We're working together and doing Angela McConaughey do a shoot. And I'm like, all right, let's do it, man. Let's do it. So now I'm going to go to John and say, all right, John Bechtel, you know, help me out here. You think that there is need and use for an organization, that there's something that we can do as a group or you as a group and demonstrate to accomplish something. What is it you're trying to do with what?
Well, I think we have a huge problem on our hands generally. That this is an aspect of a much larger problem that has put the American people $17 trillion in debt and the most imprisoned population of all nations on the planet. So we don't have the social formation that it would take to produce the political changes that people want but can't get. So we're heading just as of looking at more for more on the perspective of how do we actually engineer these changes, where we begin to look at contests. And Bradley Manning's situation is emblematic of the kind of contest that we need to be victorious on. And we're heading for a pardon.
And that's your victory, is that you get Obama to pardon him?
Right. Bradley Manning's pardon would be a victory in the battle for a more ethical and conscientious America.
Yeah, see, I understand the point. I understand the sentiment. I understand the benefit. But, you know, to make a victory what Obama does, you lost before you even started. I mean, you know, even if he did what you wanted, just depending on Obama to decide whether you win or something, screw him.
What else? What does it take for Bradley Manning to be out of prison?
Everybody to want him out of prison.
and how does that translate into his being free? Who actually? What are the mechanics of that?
You know, I understand your point. You're thinking, well, the only way you're going to get a presidential pardon is that the presidential pardon him. And I'm going, right. Okay, you know, if that's your goal, you know,
breaking him out of jail is not going to happen. That's not something that will occur. There are processes that by which the society functions, and we need to reflect those or respect those processes.
Oh, and the actual view. Okay. All right. I'll give you a perfect example so you understand
right.
my point.
Right.
I go to church, and you'll have the people on the right, the very people that would be against even you talking, okay?
Right.
And I sit there, and they have questionnaires that they give to the candidates, and there'll be stuff like, you know, do you believe that children should have access to pornography on the internet at the public libraries? I mean, you wouldn't want the public libraries to have porn for little children. And libertarians don't answer that question. Why don't you answer this, Ernie? I can't believe you didn't answer that. I'm going, because libertarians don't believe that there should be public libraries. I mean, you know, it's like a trick question. So then you get into things like they'll have these adult social clubs. That was part of the questionnaires, too. There are, like, consenting adults out there somewhere having sexual relations outside of marriage and that warehouse over there, and damn it, somebody should do something about it. And I'm going, you know, why do you care? I don't understand why you – I mean, heck, if you want to be real Christian, go be Christ-like. Go stand in front and hand out tracts and, you know, and peace, brother, and find the light and whatever the heck. It's target-rich environment. I don't see why you're wanting to, you know, impose your will on them. Don't you have faith in God to have the influence on behavior? Don't you have the faith in your philosophy? Don't you have the faith? You're always wanting somebody else to do it. If you put the weight on somebody else to do something for you, you just made them your master. You just made them the end-all, be-all, top-of-the-pyramid kind of thing. If you do by culture and change and people and want, well, to maintain their legitimacy, the king will always finally capitulate to, you know, the desires and demands of the people at some point, more likely than they're just going to, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this. And I use that as an example because I can see it stinking thinking from the beginning to elevate them to that level. Now, you're right. That, you know, the most the easiest, fastest way for him to get out is they're just going to, you know, I pardon thee and boom, and he's out. But I don't see asking for that very thing. I would like allow that. You know, you create pressure from other places, kind of what is going on around the Manning thing that, you know, may get him out or a light sentence or they dismiss or whatever. But to the very first thing you're doing is legitimizing the position of power that they have to keep him there, I think is a mistake. I mean, it's just a way of activism in my mind. So I'm going, okay, so you're going to use this effort to try, that is your primary goal, is the political and street pressure on Obama to pardon Manning. That's your goal.
See, that the pardon is the goal. The mechanism is not, that's not the mechanism, though. The mechanism we're looking for is that our government becomes our servants again. And, in that paradigm, it would be appropriate for the president to be the person who releases Bradley Manning.
What is your philosophy? Are you, you Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, anarchist? What drives you?
My philosophy would be more of as a founder. I think that you couldn't attribute a philosophy in those terms to, say, John Hancock or to John Adams what would you call John Locke?
Leave me aloneist. I mean, okay. So I understand.
I think we need to. My philosophy is that the government is the servant of the people.
Since when?
No, and I think there has been an increasing disconnect between that fundamental philosophy that drives the greatness of the United States and what we have today.
Yeah, see, I understand. Let's go ahead and go to Mike. Mike Shipley, local activist here in Arizona that's taken on this as one of his causes. Mike, go ahead and tell me what your involvement is, at what level, and what you're looking to accomplish.
Well, I think one of the unfortunate things we've seen as the power of the state has grown is that genuine liberation movements like the LGBT movement have been kind of subverted and turned towards the purposes of state power. So we have a movement that started out as a riot, and it has turned into, you know, basically a big legislative festival where, you know, some people have made it their profession basically to be gay. And I know Angela's kind of tiptoeing around it, but I mean, I'll just say it. The allegations are that the Pride Board executive made a political decision because it was inconvenient to the power structure that she's trying to rise up in.
So you're saying the organization that puts on this Pride parade, all of a sudden...
San Francisco Pride.
Somebody made the announcement on whatever authority. Somebody did something that said, hey, Manning, you know, very cool. And then somebody got a phone call or somebody made a decision, oh, no. And that decision to retract that was political, which means financial. So I'm going, okay. So let's take it outside of that. We'll talk about what the people can do and why.
Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Okay, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. We're going to be, you know, this Bradley Manning thing is not going to go away. And once you got the gay community involved in this and they got their teeth in a good issue and something they want to say, and certainly in opposition to the government in general and the lies and the deception and the obfuscation. I mean, it's just, you know, ooh, we're going to get a sum on this one. Now, Angela, I want to kind of get an understanding of the mechanics of this. And I know you're kind of tiptoeing around the edge on this, but what I would like you to do is go ahead and try and give an understanding of the details of this situation to where why should anarchists and other libertarians across the planet pay attention to this issue and what's happening? How does it relate to them?
Okay. Well, I mean, if you're an North American anarchist, the most pressing issue has to be the role of the government, unfortunately, that you live under is administrating an empire. I'm trying to put that the right way. The empire, which, of course, you know, occupies 139 countries, 10 territories, and is anywhere between 700 and 1,000 military bases. That's an issue for every libertarian, for every anarchist. And it should be for anyone who cares about human rights. I mean, none of us, I mean, does anyone think that war, occupation, torture are good things, that there's something that people should be doing in the 21st century, that that's a way to resolve conflict, or perhaps that in and of itself is the basis of conflict? And that, and this also would include things like the United States' general affection for various dictators of countries whom we pay off, and providing, you know, military and foreign aid for such, as well as, you know, our participation in the horror that happens in Palestine. So these are all things that the U.S. does, the United States government does in our name, does with our money. And these are things that every libertarian, if they aren't concerned with, what would they be concerned about? Another decrease of 0.002 taxes, or what kind of damn light bulbs they can use? This is the most basic matter of human rights. And if conservatives don't understand it, they should understand this. Bradley Manning is someone who upheld his oath. He understood the Constitution. He is an oath keeper. He is a patriot by those standards that they set. For crying out loud, the John Birch Society is giving Bradley Manning a better deal than the gay establishment is, which is entirely beholden to the state and only cares about state acceptance and not about actual gay liberation or human rights for all, which would be the goal of every liberation movement, that each one of us has a human dignity. And as far as, you know, next month is, you know, begins Pride Month. And as a member of the LGBT community, I want to say that Bradley Manning is what makes me proud. So tomorrow I'm going out and here in LA, and I'll be out there, of course, again during our Pride weekend, which is the following weekend, making sure that people understand what it is that Bradley Manning did. He liberated the truth about the great war crime of Iraq.
Yeah, now see, that's one thing that's starting to get lost is all these other, you know, ouch, quit it, and nobody even knows what the heck he did. Go ahead and define what it was that he's accused of and why he's in trouble.
This is generally the facts is probably laid out as what he told the sickening freak Adrian Lambo in the chat logs is, you know, his motivations for doing this are pretty simple. He was sickened by the reality of what he saw as a soldier. Bradley Manning wanted the truth to be revealed. He was, and by his own admission, he's a skeptic about these things. I mean, you describe yourself as a gay, libertarian, atheist computer nerd. You're probably describing someone who's going to be a bit skeptical about the government anyway. He overlooked that and joined the United States killing machine regardless. However, I suppose we should be grateful because he released, and one of the so-called secrets, I'm putting that in air quotes there, that he supposedly released was the collateral murder video where you see, of course, people firing on journalists and children and civilians, which should be something, of course, that makes everyone nauseous just thinking about. That's the information that Bradley Manning, the big traitor, released was the truth about what actually was going on in Iraq. And it's just an horrible bloodbath by the United States military against people who did absolutely nothing to us.
You know, I've interviewed Daniel Ellsberg, the Pentagon Papers and stuff before, and talked about this. We had the My Lai massacre that was going on that this country went through, and each of those cases, you know, they definitely would come down on them. You know, traitor to the empire, not to the promise you made to, you know, the people, the oath that you take, or just being a human, that doesn't matter. They're like, yeah, you don't get the, you know, diss the king. I mean, that's just, you're not allowed. And that's the message here, is that they're going, look, man, you know, we need to have, you know, he cannot be a hero certainly in the minds of the government, because all of a sudden we'll have 15 gazillion other people doing the same kind of stuff, which is what their concern is. So it's going to be up to the people to make him a hero. It's going to be up to the people to decide how he's remembered. When it came out that this gay pride thing happened, until then, I didn't know he was gay, didn't care, doesn't matter. But now it seems like, will this become a gay issue? You know, I kind of seems like...
It's split apart. It is absolutely split apart, all the activists in the LGBT community, certainly here in California.
Really?
I mean, this is an ongoing issue who does the gay establishment, the civil rights establishment, stand for? Does it stand for actual LGBT people or just a very small group of people with corporate connections in D.C.? Well, it's fairly clear that San Francisco Pride has made itself a statement. And, I mean, no disrespect to... the person that they later chose, someone much more fun to be the Grand Marshal, and that's fine. But Pride has always been a major political statement, and people who are denying that are denying the entire history just because they find that serving the agenda of making sure that every person can serve in the U.S. military, because of course you have an inherent right to go and kill strangers, is more important than truth and justice be served, and particularly that all Americans. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, we talk about that Dan Savage nonsense, it gets better. Well, it doesn't always get better. There's always going to be bullying against gay kids. But let me tell you, Bradley Manning, now there's someone who obviously all 5'2" of him couldn't be bullied into doing the wrong thing. He did the right thing, and he did it. I mean, there's no incentive for him to do it but his own moral conscience, because he certainly isn't going to be heralded for this, and he may never see the light of day again. He
Steiger's
may be in a cage forever
law.
For revealing the truth about the United States military.
This is a perfect example of Steiger's Law. Whenever you create an organization, sooner or later it becomes more important than the reason you created it. And that is happening with the LGBT community and gay pride and all this kind of stuff. They go, whoa, 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 whoa. This would damage our ability to raise money in Washington, D.C. and get some kind of voting block that be for their supporting of the empire. You know, so I see where this is going. I see why this can be a good issue, and I see why it's going to split the activist. In the next hour, we're going to have Star Child come on because we're just too crowded now, and I like having a conversation with him. That'll be interesting. And I'm looking at the gay community as becoming more and more politically active, but it was always, certainly in the 90s, in my experience, it was always about, you know, what we can get. We need to have special privilege. We need to get the contracts for the city concrete thing because we're gay, because we're female, because we need special rights. You know, we want to be able to get married, too. We want, you know, I mean, and I'm going, wow, man, it's always a collective thing. When you get down to the individual, I just want to be treated. Why do I got to be, you know, married or not married to have a tax benefit? Why do I got to have, you know, go visit someone I love in the hospital? I got to have some permission slip from the government that says we're married. You know, all of these things keep changing the real battle down to the individual. And I can see that's where the line is being broken in the gay community, is you have the individual rights people, the government's not my ruler kind of people, versus those that want to have government sanction, government benefit, government, you know, I don't know, I don't understand, permission. Hey, you rule me, give me my velvet handcuffs. I mean, I don't understand why they are so surprised by what's happening right now. Angela Keaton, John Bechtel, Mike Shipley, we'll be right back.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
From what?
I want to break free from your lies.
No more lies. You know, it's one thing, whenever you got these kind of movements, what happens is it always, you know, it comes down to a civil rights thing. It's most effective when it's down to the rights of the individual. You start screaming Constitution, and that's all about what? It's about the individual. You know, it's the whole purpose of government is, you know, defense of the rights of the individual. So the Bill of Rights is all about, Declaration of Independence is all about. Now, the Constitution was all about you're not allowed to diss the man or you're treason. You got, you know, so I'm not a big Constitution fan. But, you know, let's go ahead and talk about how all of these movements always devolve into a place at the mahogany table in Washington. You get a rally going up. You get enough influence. You get enough. They go, okay. Here's your chair at the table, and then you're part of us, and you want to be part of us because you're part of us. So then what happens? Angela, tell me what goes on, man.
It's the same old story. You know, it's a, you know, you're marching, you know, you're Joanne Rothbard and Carl Hess and Don Munchausen marching against the state in Vietnam. And then 40 years later, it's, you know, John Allison and Rand Paul, you know, dancing around, you know, the banker's table. Everything deteriorates and degenerates. If it begins as a liberation movement, it'll evolve or de-evolve into a civil rights organization, and then it's completely co-opted by the state. I mean, this has happened with every liberation movement, which is why, I mean, something that has tried hard to keep feminism radical and LGBT liberation radical. And that means striking the root, and the root, of course, is always the state, which is creating, that creates collectives, that creates divisions, that creates the labels, and forces people into closets. That's what the state does. I mean, libertarians focus too much on just merely the privacy aspect of the census forms. If you think about what a census form is, and I think about the labels that it sticks on people, sticks racial and religious and sexual identity labels on human beings that don't need such labels, because all those labels there are to minimize and to deny someone rights and dignity. And that happens in every single situation. You know, as far as, you know, gay marriage, I mean, most of us see it as a strategy and a tactic, and there are many LGBT libertarians. I mean, there are gay libertarians who are directly affected by it because they were married in one state and their state, their marriage isn't recognized. But they're very clear on why they want the state marriage, because they understand the tax benefits. Because, of course, almost every single libertarian alive does not want to pay taxes. I mean, and this is true of all the members of Outright, both moderate and radical. And it's a very diverse group at Outright Libertarians. You know, we have moderate libertarians, constitutionalists, minarchists, anarchists, volunteerists. It's not, you know, it's a libertarian movement itself. It's very, very.
Yeah,
diverse.
But I'm not a fan of state sanctioned heterosexual marriage. I mean,
it's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. But
let's go ahead and talk about, before we run out of time, I want to make sure we mention, you're telling me in the break, We Steal Secrets is a new WikiLeak movie thing. Tell me about that real quick and the role Bradley plays in it.
Right. Well, I've actually been, you know, since I've been, you know, trying to see who's seen it. I'd like to go see it. Fire Dog Lake has been covering it, and I highly recommend dissenter.firedoglake.com to read more about the We Steal Secrets movie, because one of the things that focuses in it, it tends to focus a lot about the sensational aspects of both Assange and WikiLeaks, but as well as part of this myth. This is where it's a really sensitive issue for some people in the LGBT community. The idea that Bradley Manning did these things because he's a troubled, you know, in other words, a gay young man, that being gay in and of itself is apparently some sort of, it creates some sort of instability in the minds of homophobes and stupid bigots, and of course people who support the empire. And that basically, I mean, the movie apparently, according to, you know, what I'm reading, I've not seen it yet, is of course a smear against Manning's stability, because after all, if we can minimize him as someone who's unstable, then we can of course diminish the act of heroism and courage, and which took great intelligence, by the way, for him to pull off.
Yeah, see, I don't see this going the way they think. I think it's going to backfire when they go, you know, we can't have gay people in the army. They might tell the truth or something. I mean, I'm like, what?
Yes, that's right, Ernie. We certainly can't let certain gay young men in there, because they'll tell the truth, or they will rip the curtain off the United States government, the empire. They're showing the truth about what it is the United States government does. It does all the horrible things that I was told as a kid communist countries did. That's the truth that Bradley Manning stood up for.
Okay, no, I said, let's get the guys in. Okay, John, give me your spiel here. We got a limited time. I want you to go ahead and express yourself. This is from Angela and I talking about this. You can see kind of our view on this whole thing. What do you think the most effective means of promoting Bradley Manning's efforts is? What? Why? What is the main message you want to tell people? Bradley should be let out because he what?
I think the main message that people will serve the people well is to understand that Bradley is an American hero, and that in America, we aren't comfortable allowing our heroes to be imprisoned and tortured.
Well, see, why would you have the gay community? One, they come out. I wonder who even made the decision that they announced, yeah, he's, you know, the Grand Marshal, and then that get overridden. They're going, no, we can't have this gay man be a hero to anybody because he challenged the state. I'm wondering how the gay community or that organization is going to benefit from that effort. I don't see what they were. I don't get it.
I think that the gay community. My prediction is that the gay community will embrace Bradley Manning in the long run, and that this will have been a significant business and public relations error on the part of the San Francisco Pride directors.
Well, do they have any chance of being replaced or the entire organization being ignored into non-existence? Or, I mean, you know, obviously they showed which side they're on.
I think they function in a reasonable business capacity, and they have just this today or just in this event landed on the wrong side of history. And it's not that that means the end of anybody, but it means it certainly serves to alert people.
I'll tell you exactly what it's like. It is like the Nobel Peace Prize going to Obama. I'm going, since when do I give a crap who gets the Nobel Peace Prize now? I mean, seriously? You know, that's your standard. So why would I give a crap what they have to say about anything after what they've done on this? I'm like, if this isn't a shining example for the community of someone that stood up at, you know, I didn't know he's 5'2". I mean, I didn't know that he's such a small guy. Not that it matters. None of this matters. Everybody's so worried about all these superficial traits. Who cares? It's a man that just said, no, this needs to get out there, and he did it, and this has happened in the past, and it's always the same thing. You challenged the collective. You're not allowed. But to have the gay community or leaders or say they are to say no, we don't want to support that when every time I turn around, they're being all political about stuff.
It is political, Ernie. I mean, gay Pride, San Francisco Pride, these are some of the, quote, fun-loving titles they've had in the past. 1978, Come Out With Joy, Speak For Justice. 81, Frontline of Freedom. 89, Stonewall 20, A Generation of Pride. 92, A Simple Matter of Justice. 96, Equality and Justice for All. 2000, Pride. It's About Freedom was the title of that Pride parade. I mean, this Pride has always been very political, and they have absolutely, you know, San Francisco Pride has made a statement by making complete chaos over this Bradley Manning issue. It showed that San Francisco Pride stands with the state. It stands with the boot on the neck. That's who it stands with. That's not pro-LGBTQ.
Do you know what's going to come? You know, when you guys have things like Outright Libertarians and stuff like that, I mean, do you see a competing organization kind of, you know, I'm not even about organizations.
Oh, I mean, we certainly are, you know, providing a critique to the simple-minded capitulation to the corporate liberal empire, and which is what we're talking about on that end. I mean, it's nothing more than corporate liberalism, or, you know, it has very little to do with actual gay liberation at this point. And they've shown, I mean, they showed their hand. We know what cards they're now all playing with. I mean, and these are not, San Francisco Pride, I mean, there is backlash. There's been horrible backlash. And in the next segment, you'll get to hear from Starchild and people who were at the meetings where this was argued and debated.
Oh, it's going to be very interesting. Maybe we can keep some of the guys over a little bit. We'll let you go, because you know, you got to tell us everything. I knew if I had Angela Keaton on, I would get all learnified. Thank you very, very much. You know, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, guys, hold on a second. I want to talk to you when we come back. This issue, you know, from my perspective, we cover it a lot on Freedom's Phoenix. We've talked a lot about it on the radio. We know where this. But one thing that I did not anticipate was the outing of the gay community organizations as, arms of the state. You know, I didn't anticipate that. Even though you could see they're wanting state, you know, sanction and benefit and whatever and so on, I guess, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound. We'll be right back.
Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Declare your independence with me or without me, all by yourself. You just go, I declare my independence. No government form. Easy. Done. A lot of people are doing that, and there's a lot of examples of why they should. And I don't want to get into a situation to where, you know, I'm begging the man to sanction my independence. Like, I need a permission. So it's a declaration, not a request or an application. You know, and that mindset is something that really needs to be instilled in the movement on any and everything that we're doing. So this going to the king and saying, please, sir, we petition you to let our guy go. And it, you know, I'm not hip to that. But I am hip to, you know, making sure people understand what's going on. Now, let's go ahead and first we'll go. We got Star Child on, a great activist I've known for a long time. Now, he's in the gay community. You know, he's definitely, you know, doesn't hide that. And matter of fact, he advertises. But the thing is that, I got to write a story. You know, Lois Lane did it. I spent the night with Superman. Well, I spent the night with Star Child before. Of course, platonic. But, you know, we've been good friends for a long time, gone to a lot of different events. We've traveled together. I really enjoy spending time with Star Child because he is a purist in his mind. Now, he wrote an article for the E-Zine, you know, why I'm not, you know, totally libertarian, but why the Libertarian Party should be. And what he's, you know, hopefully expressing is that, you know, nobody's perfect, but you need to have a standard. You need to have some kind of a standard set that this is the definition of. Well, defining liberty and defining what you really want as individuals and be treated equally under the law. And all this, I always thought that was the gay community. I thought that's what they wanted. I thought that's what they were advocating for. It was a civil rights thing. It was equal protection under the law. It was just, I am a human being. I breathe in and out. I fog a mirror. And I am treated the same as anybody else. That's all I want. But then there are those that always gravitate towards the power of a special interest. And they want special rights. They want a special seat at the mahogany table. They want to be special. It doesn't work. Well, let's go ahead and see what's going to be done about this. But we'll get in the final three segments of this hour. We'll focus on Star Child and the idea and the concept of what's going to come out of this. You know, what's the philosophy driving this? But there's an event starting at the end of this month. Are we in June now? You know, it's June 1st. Tomorrow's June. So at the end of June, we're going to have what? We're going to have the big gay pride parade out of San Francisco that's well known there. From that is going to start another event on its way to Washington, D.C. Mike, explain that to us. Tell us what's going on with that.
Basically, the idea is that we would light a Liberty torch at San Francisco Pride, and it would be passed across the country Olympic style to Washington, D.C. on July 4th. And the symbology of that is that, of course, Bradley Manning stood up for all of our rights when he defended the Constitution and revealed that information and fulfilled his oath to it. And so we're honoring that on the individual rights level. The Freedom Torch symbolizes that. So when San Francisco Pride made its announcement that no hint of support would be tolerated, we just felt, how can we make a statement that is so grand and so, you know, so grand that it cannot be ignored?
Okay, wait a minute. What won't be tolerated?
The statement that San Francisco Pride put out on their Facebook, I mean, you have to read it to believe it. It's just so bizarre. But the statement that was made was that no hint of support for Bradley Manning will be tolerated.
Or what?
Or the Freedom Torch Parade, I guess. That's what we said.
I am like, wow. Is there anything else you want to share with us, Mike, before I get the Star Child?
Just give up the time to Star Child. But, you know, if anybody out there is listening, if you're interested in this event, you can go to our website, freedomtorch.us. We're trying to organize contingents in every city.
Freedomtorch.us. Freedomtorch.us. Go ahead.
Yes, get a hold of us if you're interested in hosting a rally in your city. You can also find us on Facebook, Freedom Torch Parade. Bradley Manning, Freedom Torch Parade.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot for coming on, man. And, we'll be in touch. We'll work some more. I've seen your stuff up on Freedom's Phoenix. Is the torch going to come through Phoenix?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, yeah, we'll be paying attention. Wow, okay. All right, thanks a lot, man. All right, I need to, get some, the details from Star Child here from being on the inside. Welcome, Star Child. How you been, man?
Right on, Ernie. Good. How have you been?
I'm looking forward to talking to you because I know you're on, man, you could be a Grand Marshal. In fact, have you been a Grand Marshal?
No, I haven't. But the interesting thing is that there's really a very significant split in the gay community. And all the former Grand Marshals that I know of who have spoken out about this, and that's probably half a dozen or so, are all in favor of Bradley Manning being a Grand Marshal this year. Now, there's actually more than one Grand Marshal, and that's something else that sometimes gets lost in this, because they talk about Grand Marshal. It sounds like there's only one of them. That's what I thought at first, actually, when I first heard about it in the past as a concept. It's like, well, Grand Marshal, there's got to be one Grand Marshal of the parade, right? But no, actually, they have several each year in these different categories. But you mentioned the statement, or Mike mentioned the statement that was put out about him. So let me just read some of that so people have some background here. This is a statement that was put out by Lisa Williams, who's kind of been the point person on this for San Francisco Pride.
Well, who is Lisa Williams? What's her shiny badge?
She's the president of San Francisco Pride, which is the organization that organizes this big Pride parade in San Francisco every
year.
Now,
does she live in San Francisco, or is she a lobbyist in Washington, or what's her bona fides?
Well, curiously enough, she's kind of both, apparently. I mean, I don't know if she lives in San Francisco, but I'm assuming she lives around here because she works here. But she also runs a consulting firm called One Source Consulting, which is a Democrat-oriented political consulting group, probably engages in lobbying. And she was a campaign organizer for Barack Obama. So part of the speculation here is that she took this stand either because she knew it was in the interest of the Obama administration. They don't want Bradley Manning honored and giving him a higher profile at the time when they're trying to prosecute him and send him away to jail for a long time. April 26th.
Okay, now wait. I know you want to get to it, and we're too close to the break to read it now. We'll do it when we come back in the second thing.
All right.
But I want to ask this one question. We got time for this. Tell me, how is it that it was announced that he was going to be or invited to be the Grand Marshal? Who did that? And then how was it undone? Nobody's explained that to me.
Yeah, okay. Well, Joey Kane, who was a former president of SF Pride, who used to have Lisa's job, and was also a former Grand Marshal himself, nominated Bradley Manning as part of this Electoral College of former Grand Marshals. And that group apparently voted, although the details of that were never publicly released by the organization. But the inside word is that they voted. There were a list of several nominees, four, I believe, including Bradley Manning. There was released by Pride. And this group of former Grand Marshals voted and selected Bradley Manning. And somebody leaked that result to the media. Before the organization sort of had officially announced it. And then apparently what happened is some people in the community who were not so keen on Bradley Manning, some military type.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, they don't want you to look. You know, behind the scenes, there's a lot of things going on. You know, the truth always, you know, slips out between the fingers of the fist of tyranny kind of thing anyway. You know, and you look at a lot of, there's individuals, you know, but there's always individuals that, you know, either break it out, come out, and support the people that shared this kind of information with us. And then, and there's such a diverse group of people. You always got new heroes coming up. But they're always against the same guy. The man in black. The Mr. Smith of the Matrix. Uncle Sam, something. I mean, it's always, you know, representing what? The empire. You know, this, thou shalt not do treason against whatever serves the empire and the king said. Why? I thought the whole empire was based on the defense of the rights of the individual. Even the war machine was to protect us from threats outside. Why are we in other people's country? Why, am I allowed not to care? No. Got a gun to your head, taking your money, you're going to do it and get over it. Well, here we have a gentleman. He goes over, he sees the evil being done, and he goes, no, everybody needs to see this. They need to know what's going on here. Well, if you show the people what the empire is doing and murder and mayhem and breaking things and killing people unnecessarily, and just, you know, because you can, there must be something wrong with you. Ah, he's gay! I knew there was something wrong with him. He was gay. Gay people can't be trusted to keep secrets when we're out killing people. Well, then what do I say? I don't know. We need more gay generals then or something. I'm seriously? Is that's your criteria? They share the information. You know, let's have some more gay generals. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Well, of course, this is a promise they make with, oh, if we get a female president, oh, they'll be more like, you know what, Hillary? Seriously? You know, I'm going, see, it's not, I don't see, it's an individual thing. I look past all that stuff and just, you know, do you respect my right as an individual to be left alone? Either you do or you don't. You know, you're Vulcan. You know, we get visited by aliens. You're Vulcan. It's like live free and prosper and, you know, chill out and whatever. Or you're Klingon and you're just another empire competing with the empire, you know, getting the freaking line behind all the empires. So I need to bypass all that crap. And that's why I like talking to someone like Starchild, because at least he understands, you know, my perspective and we can have a conversation. Now, this is the one thing that I want to get to. We're finishing up at the last segment. Is that there is a group of former Grand Marshals for the Pride Parade that they give nominations in different categories, or at least one category they get to pick or something. And they said, all right, this is the person that we think, yeah, Bradley Manning, that'd be cool. Somebody put that up. And, ooh, that's a good iron did. They vote. I guess he, you know, is going to be out. And somebody either didn't like it or freaked or liked it or whatever. And they leak it before it became an official whatever. Well, that leaked and got out. And they went, oh, no, 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 hell no. And who's the person saying that? The person that was an Obama campaign supporting, working kind of individual. All right, so Obama is in support of prosecuting someone that goes up against the empire. Well, that's how you get to be president. Get over it. So this is having someone come out in the gay community that they're going to designate the word hero. Oh, hell no. So this is where we're at, and Starchild can pick it up from there. So here you had former Grand Marshal guys. They say, all right, we pick him. Somebody came representing an organization with ties to Obama, said, no, heck no, no, not him. And then the community went, what? So tell me about the split, and what lines is this split?
Yeah, okay, Ernie. So on April 26th. That was when the organization made its retraction. I believe a couple days before that, it was it came out in the media. Well, that was a Friday. On the previous Wednesday, it got printed in the Bay Area Reporter, which is the main local LGBTQ newspaper here in San Francisco, that Bradley Manning was going to be a grand marshal. That was Wednesday. On Friday, Lisa Williams, president of San Francisco Pride, on behalf of their board, released a statement. It says, Bradley Manning will not be a grand marshal in this year's San Francisco Pride celebration. His nomination was a mistake and should never have been allowed to happen. A staff person at SF Pride, acting under his own initiative, prematurely contacted Bradley Manning based on internal conversations within the SF Pride organization. That was an error, and that person has been disciplined. He does not now, nor did he at that time, speak for SF Pride. Bradley Manning is facing the military justice system of this country. We all await the decision of that system. However, until that time, even the hint of support for actions which placed in harm's way the lives of our men and women in uniform and countless others, military and civilian alike, will not be tolerated by the leadership of San Francisco Pride. It is and would be an insult to everyone, gay and straight, who has ever served in the military of this country. There are many, gay and straight, military and non-military, who believe Bradley Manning to be innocent. There are many who feel differently. Under the U.S. Constitution, they have a First Amendment right to show up, participate, and voice their opinions at Pride this year. Specifically, what these events have revealed is a system whereby a less than handful of people may decide who represents the LGBT community's highest aspirations as grand marshals for San Francisco Pride. This is a systemic failure that now has become apparent and will be rectified. In point of fact, less than 15 people actually cast votes for Bradley Manning. These 15 people are part of what is called the SF Pride Electoral College, comprised of former SF Pride Grand Marshals. However, as an organization with a responsibility to serve the broader community, SF Pride repudiates this vote. The board of directors for SF Pride never voted to support this nomination. Bradley Manning will have his day in court, but will not serve as an official participant in the SF Pride parade. So that was their statement. And
might as well come from the White House.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It was horrible. And they've taken a lot of heat for it, in particular for claiming that Bradley Manning's actions placed lives of men and women in uniform and others in harm's way, which has never been proven. There's no evidence for that. They subsequently issued another statement later where they kind of backpedaled on some of that, but they're still saying he can't be Grand Marshal.
What was it Mike was saying about that they were saying, you know, support for will not be tolerated? Where'd that come from? What's he talking about?
He was talking about that statement I just read. They used some of that language. I don't know if you heard me say that. They said,
well, I thought I heard, you know, they were able to go and express themselves at. I mean, you know, they said something else.
Yeah, they said, until that time, meaning until he gets court-martialed, even the hint of support for actions which placed in harm's way the lives of our men and women in uniform, et cetera, et cetera, will not be tolerated by the leadership of San Francisco Pride.
Wow.
Yeah, with the language.
Which means what? I mean, billy clubs and tasers? I mean, I don't understand what they're saying.
I think with the statement, they were basically trying to keep their own people in line and send a strong message, you know, we're not honoring this guy. Don't try to honor this guy, you know, don't try to go against our wishes as the board. You know, we're making the final ruling here.
Wow, against a bunch of politically savvy activists out there.
So anyway, the following Tuesday, they had a big demonstration.
Okay, we'll talk about that the following Tuesday, you know, when we come back and explain what happened then.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Brother, 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 there's has far too many of you died.
You know, we went through this before,
you know,
many times as a country. There's always some war in the name of whatever the heck. And the people that start bringing out the real reasons, the motivations behind, and what's actually happening, and who's doing what, no, you're not allowed. Why? What was the empire so afraid of? I mean, I tell you what it is. I mean, it's just this fog of war thing is intentional to hide all the crap that's being done so they can just, you know, spend more money, make more money. It's all about the money. Money, 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 and control and power and money. So whenever there's cracks in that, certainly in support from the people of this, they're going, no, I'm not. They're, woo, from every direction. Death of 1,000 cuts to the state? Well, they got 1,001 ways of pushing back. All right, fine. You know, the people just won't go away. Guys like Starchild. Starchild, right when we were going into the break, you were talking about the following Tuesday after, you know, this kind of dust-up was starting to get really serious, and then pick it up from there. The following Tuesday, what happened?
Yeah, so the Pride organization released the statement that I read, and this organization, by the way, as I said, is a nonprofit that runs primarily the San Francisco Pride Parade every June, which typically attracts over a million people. So it's a big deal. So they released this statement, and then the community, the Bradley Manning supporters, predictably are outraged. And we had a demonstration. There's 100, 150 people or so demonstrating on their offices, outside their offices on Market Street, main drag in San Francisco, signs and everything. And Daniel Ellsberg showed up, who was the Pentagon Papers leaker from back in 1971. He says now, I was Bradley Manning. We're all saying I am Bradley Manning. He said I was Bradley Manning. I mean, he basically went through this when he leaked that, those classified documents about the Vietnam War. And, they went after him the way they're going after Bradley Manning now. And that was a whole controversy then. So anyway, he came out and spoke. And the plan was he was going to, since Bradley Manning is incarcerated, he was going to stand in for him as Grand Marshal and march in the parade, in place of Bradley Manning, honoring Bradley Manning as Grand Marshal. So, anyway, we had Daniel Ellsberg and a bunch of the
Actually happen? Did he take his place, or he offered and they rejected it?
No, the parade hasn't happened yet. The parade happens June 30th.
No, I mean, did they make
the
decision?
The torch parade.
Has Daniel Ellsberg been selected to the Grand Marshal to stand in for Bradley?
No.
They don't
want him. The organization doesn't want him either. This was the plan. I mean, the people nominating Bradley Manning knew that he wasn't going to be able to take part in the parade himself, unless some miracle happens and he's released by then. Somehow at some point, somebody got in touch with Danny Ellsberg. He said, yeah, I'll do it.
Very cool.
I'll lock in his place in the parade.
Daniel's not gay, is he?
Yes, he is.
Daniel Ellsberg is gay?
Yep.
Holy crap, man. I don't know none of this stuff. All right. Not that I cared. I mean, we had him on, the show before. Charles has had him on. We pushed. Wow. We need more gay.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, maybe I just totally stuck my foot in my mouth. But no, I strongly believe he is. I believe I heard that. Somebody can probably look it up online, fact check it. But
Not that I care.
Anyway. I agree with you. And in the bigger picture scheme, gay, straight, bisexual, I'm technically bisexual for what it's worth, but that's not really what's important, but it is a way to sometimes communicate the message to a different audience, get people interested in an issue like what's happening at Bradley Manning that they might not have been interested in otherwise. They realize, that he's gay. And there is some speculation, and probably nobody but Bradley himself knows this for sure, that, his being gay in the military, at a time there's still lots of homophobia and prejudice in the military, and he was serving during this don't ask, don't tell period where he wasn't allowed to be openly public about his sexuality while he was serving in uniform, may have played some part in his feeling disaffected, and not down with just following orders and being a good soldier and whatever. So that's part of the angle in which, in one sense, it may have mattered or made a difference that he is gay. But certainly that should in no way detract from his courage and honorable action.
Well, see, I'm worried, you know, that this is going to backfire, where they're saying, you know, like, gays are unstable and gays are this and gays are that.
Ernie, this is exactly part of the reason why I think some people in the community and some people probably in the Esser Pride organization are saying, no, we don't want to honor him, because they're afraid that this will backlash and give gays in the military a bad reputation. You know, they're worried about the image of the gay movement.
Well, they must be older. I mean, these people making these decisions, it's just, it's a mindset. It's the way their brain works or something. They have to be, I don't know, 50, 60, 70, part of the Washington Beltway water poisoning or something. I mean, I don't see it as much. I'm 52, and I don't give a crap. And I guarantee the young revolutionaries and the people that have grown up with the internet and everything, that's just, you know, all these petty differences are so subservient to the idea of just being a human being and equal, seen under the law and leave me aloneism. I don't see these. They're just demonstrating their bias of being a statist. They're demonstrating their bias of being the generation that we're just waiting to die off. Literally, I mean.
Well, it's kind of it's a fear thing, and I mean, we see this in you know, the Libertarian Party and all kinds of other organizations.
Yeah.
There's always people that are worried about looking professional, having a good image, appealing to the mainstream. You know. Not to want to be associated with anything that might tarnish, you know, the mom apple pie kind of image.
Which is why I'm so supportive of Star Child showing up at the LP conventions wearing a leopard skin tutu and high heels and fairy wings. I mean, literally.
Exactly. It's a cultural thing. It's about, you know, making sure that we express nonconformity. Nonconformity is very, I think, important as a cultural message to go along with the political message. Because if you get people in the cultural, you know, meme of expressing their individuality and their nonconformity, they're less likely to be, you know, there's not going to be as much room at the table for what you call the shiny badge people. People are all, you know, concerned about fitting in and conforming to what the mainstream wants people to look like, to
shiny
sound
badges.
Like. So anyway, getting back to the Pride organization, by the way, there's one thing your listeners can do here if people want to do a little direct lobbying. We've got another meeting here this afternoon, actually, following the thing Tuesday I talked about on April 30th, the following week, then Esser Pride had a meeting, and that's what turned into sort of the real, you know, debacle as reported in the media. The cops got called, you know, they were told 200 people were rioting in the street. Well, that never happened, but basically people showed up to speak at this public meeting of the Pride Board, and were kept waiting outside in the street for like 45 minutes, and they finally let some people in, you know, and so they wouldn't let everybody in. They wouldn't let the media cameras in. They said, oh, no cameras. We can't have cameras in here, you know. A few of us got to speak, including myself, at this board meeting, but they kept most of the public outside and then, you know, told us to leave the room so they could have the next batch of people up. Their excuse was their meeting in a small room that only had a capacity of like 22 people, but they knew in advance that there was going to be people here. In fact, two people had specifically asked them about having a bigger room to accommodate people that were expected to show up, and they were basically brushed off. And so then they act like they're all surprised when, you know, they've got this crowd of people that want to speak. So anyway, you know, you have Costco Hall, they shut down the meeting, and they rescheduled that meeting for today at 6:30 p.m. So I'm going to be going to that. And if people want to call, the number is 415.
Okay, we'll get the number out when we come back.
Okay.
Because this is interesting. We had the meeting. They got to express themselves to the board. And do we care what they say now? We'll find out.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with a chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Coming. You feel him coming? I feel him coming. You know, this is, you know, it's the empire. That's what this is all about, the empire. You know, supporting the empire's, supporting the empire. You know, and all the guys are, you know, the cogs that make it up. And it's kind of not surprising to a lot of us to find that the gay community and the infrastructure that they have is now in support of the administration. I mean, you know, where did you think this was going to go? You know, I mean, seriously. So this is, there was a meeting last Tuesday where you had a lot of activists that went to the board of them as if they, hey, I'm just for, screw them, man, just do your own thing.
This wasn't last Tuesday. The first rally happened April 30th, and a week later, May 7th, the SF Pride Board had their meeting. And as I said, that turned into a total debacle, and then the cops were called and everything. Today is the meeting they've rescheduled. First, they were saying, well, we're not going to have another meeting until after the Pride Parade, which happens June 30th. But they, you know, got a lot of flack over that. Now they say, okay, we're having a meeting today at the Metropolitan Community Church, which is sort of the main gay church in San Francisco.
So that has seating of what?
I don't know, but
hundreds.
It's a church. I presume they have room for a decent sized congregation, probably a couple hundred people or something. So that'll be interesting to see what happens today. In the meantime, after this, May 7th thing, they issued a statement kind of backing off from the first statement they made a little bit, but mostly justifying themselves. And I can read a little of that here if you want. There's also been a complaint filed against some of the San Francisco Human Rights Commission. Kind of the background to this is, you know, and a lot of people in the gay community have been complaining for a long time that the Pride Parade in San Francisco, and I think this is true in a lot of other cities too, has becoming more commercialized over time, getting away from its roots. You know, Mike Shipley earlier mentioned Stonewall, you know, the riot that really kind of inaugurated the gay rights movement in the United States back in New York in the early 70s. And, you know, the Pride Parades kind of sprang out of that tradition. They used to be very political, very activist-oriented, and over time they've kind of picked up corporate sponsorship and this kind of thing. And a lot of people in the community are not happy about this. In fact, there's been a movement called Gay Shame that's kind of, a sort of half satirical tongue-in-cheek thing, but pointing out the hypocrisy of the Pride parades, getting in bed with the establishment. They used to have people like Harry Hay, you know, who was a radical gay activist. He started the Radical Fairies group, and, you know, he was a very controversial figure. He was associated with, groups like NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association, and, you know, he was a former Grand Marshal, right?
So NAMBLA supporters okay, Bradley Manning not. I mean, wow. Wow.
Yeah, well, see, the board, you know, these days, they're trying to be a lot more conservative, and their big issues are, you know, equal right to serve in the military and equal right to get married in the traditional government-licensed heterosexual marriage model, you know.
Co-opted. So, this whole thing has been co-opted in service of the recognizing the king's authority over blah, blah, blah. I get it.
So a lot of people in the community are unhappy about this. And this Bradley Manning controversy, one of the reasons it's so huge, that it's really blossomed, is it was kind of a flashpoint for these larger issues that have been brewing in the gay community over the state of the movement, that a lot of people feel it's gotten away from its roots about being about liberation, and it's gotten too mainstream, too conformist. And my hope is that, the freedom movement and causes like Bradley Manning that are important in the larger picture of stopping this country from becoming a police state and fighting for worldwide freedom may benefit from, you know, the interest in the gay community of kind of getting their movement back on track by saying, hey, you know, we need to do things like stand up for Bradley Manning. You know, we need to do things that the establishment isn't necessarily comfortable with.
Okay. This is, so what has been the, is there a consensus from the people outside, or is it they're just complaining in general about what? And then if you start building a consensus, then they want to do another group, you know, and I'm not about another group, you know, but there, you know, having another event might not be bad. You do the Torch for Freedom, Freedom Torch, whatever you called it. Let's go ahead and,
FreedomTorch.us. FreedomTorch.us, that's right.
Okay, so FreedomTorch.us is what? I mean, is it just an event, or are they going to try and build into an organization to compete with the Pride organization? I mean, what are they looking to do?
No, I mean, the scale of it at this point, you know, I mean, we're hoping it's going to be big. Mike, I think, is doing a lot of hard work on this and really has ambitions to make it big. But, you know, at this point, it's primarily a freedom movement thing, you know, being championed by outright libertarians. That's outrightusa.org. It started out as the LGBTQ caucus of the Libertarian Party. And the idea, I think, really with this is to, you know, as John was saying earlier, you know, we want to see, first and foremost, we'd like Bradley Manning to be pardoned. We want justice to be done in his case. But, of course, the larger message is that none of this police state stuff is acceptable. You know, we want to roll back the police state. And while we're doing that, we want to build outright libertarians and the libertarian movement. And we're hoping to get, you know, kind of kickstart some outright chapters in different countries, different cities across the country and perhaps internationally, to hold torch ceremonies where they live. There's some discussion we may have a motorcycle actual ride, you know, torch thing going across the country. But part of this is going to be a virtual torch ceremony where there's going to be ceremonies happening in different cities after we light a torch in San Francisco following the Gay Pride Parade, you know, here where there's all these people massed for this Pride celebration, then between June 30th and July 4th, we're going to have these different ceremonies in cities across the country. So it won't just be on one parade route. You know, anywhere you live, you can potentially get involved. And if you're interested in that, you should go to freedomtorch.us and contact John or Mike about that.
You know, I can see this as being an enormous opportunity for the libertarian philosophy that is infecting in the bone marrow of American psyche. You know, there's no cure for that. You know, once you learn the truth and you start to get the focus on what this is really about is this centralized plan for everybody and what box you're going to be in, and you're not allowed to challenge the man. You know, you'd think the gay community would be the first to be more challenging. And my experience, except for, you know, the libertarians that I know are gay, you know, it's been, we just want the sanction of the man. We want to be the man, you know? And I'm like, wow.
It's much more conflicted and nuanced than that. There's definitely lots of queers out there, and queer is kind of, you might say, the preferred term of the more radical elements of the community. See, the mainstreamers kind of want to get away from that word queer because queer means weird, you know, means different, right? But that's the traditional term that was used, kind of, you know, reclaiming that word, like, you know, blacks have been reclaiming the word nigger, you know, women have been reclaiming the word bitch, and so on. You know, gays have been reclaiming the word queer, but the more conservative elements in the community aren't crazy about that term. But there are definitely gays who are very anti-establishment. They want to go their own way. They don't want any part of, you know, the whole.
So you see this is a much larger opportunity for the gay community to embrace more of a libertarian freedom, leave me aloneism, and a lot of people go with them because they see the example in the Manning case.
Yes, although, you know, I don't think that's going to happen overnight. I mean, gays like blacks and...
No, there's a beginning, man. There's always a milepost. There's always, you know, historical mile markers where, you know, it started then. Well, tonight, before we run out of time here, tonight you're going to the next meeting, and you're for what? Just a voice to get some press to try and change their mind? You think you'll change their mind?
All of the above, and people can write to info@sfpride.org or call 415-864-0831 if they want to lobby the SF Pride organization to make Bradley Manning a grand marshal.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and take that phone number. and put that on today's archive for those that want to have that. Go ahead and hold on, Star Child. I'll have you give it to Donna, and she'll go ahead and get the number up so that people can go ahead and call and have whatever influence. But I'm just not about more organizations, but I am more about people understanding what's going on and be able to act and express themselves. And yeah. Star Child is an expressor, man. That's big time. Always great. Thanks, Star Child. Hold on just a moment.
No worries.
From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, you. Man, you want to know what's going on in the movements, libertarian, gay community, a lot of the war, so on. Angela Keaton, Star Child, you get a dose. I mean, it's just damn. I can find out what, the behind-the-scenes shenanigans. And it all comes down to the same thing that I always, rail about here on the show. Whenever you create an organization, it becomes more important than the reason you created it every single time. So you got to make sure that whenever you kind of do anything, hopefully its fundamental foundational growth is based on, something that can't really be altered. Freedom's Phoenix is a business. It's mine. Mine. But, I see the benefit of allowing, I get a lot of, my biggest criticism I get on Phoenix, I get a lot of accolades too. I mean, everybody's like, oh, that's cool. But the only complaints that I get is some of the voices that I allow. I can't believe you have, blah, blah, blah up there saying this about that. And then on the other end, you got this guy. You go, man, it's just variety. Nails, diverse opinion. It's a perspective. It's a big, giant, humongous, wide radar screen. Because if you don't have this perspective, you miss a lot of things. Talking to a reporter, trying to convince her, I'm going, she was at a party, and I'm going, next weekend is this big Monsanto thing that's going, regardless of what side you're on, it's not even the point. This is going to be big, huge news, internationally, and you don't know anything about it. Oh, well, if she doesn't know anything about it, then it's not news. It's not important. Okay. And that's why we're here, to fill in all your blanks. And there are a lot of blanks. So we're trying to chronicle a lot of this here on Freedom's Phoenix. We're trying to, get out of the way and let you guys participate. We're also trying to create a new movement. I'm about movements. I'm not so much about logos as I am icons. I'm not so much about, trying to control things as I am facilitate you expressing yourself. And that's just from past experience, because I remember I was the young activist. It's like Daniel Ellsberg comes up and, they have all these people saying, I am Bradley Manning. And Ellsberg gets up and goes, I was Bradley Manning. And I know exactly where this goes. So this is... It just keeps repeating. And that's why they call it revolution. It keeps coming around. So in this next wave that we're going, can we not take the government with us in our heads to the future? Everything that I've done has always been about extracting, the surgical removal, the eating the right thing, taking the right you know, water, or, you know, eating the right food, or exposing yourself to the right philosophy or something that will strip the state out of your existence, that you're not, all this indoctrination of decades of your life bringing you to the point that you think you need to ask permission. You're always of the mindset you need to turn yourself in to somebody. You just don't know who or for what. This fear, this fog, this, I called it when I first started doing radio here in the Valley, clearing the mind fog, mind fog, mind fog, mind fog. And that was one of the phrases we used a lot. And, you know, clearing the mind fog, is the fog from your cortex? Is how clear is your mind? You know, is the fog gone and penetrating the fog and blah, blah, blah. You know, a lot of the listeners, they knew what I meant. You know, it's all this crap. So we're trying to create a site that we're going to be, you know, reintroducing the magazine and a lot of what we're doing here on the farm, the Aqua Dome, the aquaponics that we're doing, the building, you know, the lab that we have, a lot of the social networking we're getting all set up. Alma Summer is in studio. And we're negotiating, seeing what we can do to kind of get her to go to Pork Fest. She wants to go real bad, but we're going to, you know, see what we can work out and see if we can get her there. You know, get my percentage of cut of every single something. I don't know. We'll work out something. So what we'll do, now, what she's done, she's been hired as a social networking director. We're going to talk about, in the rest of this hour, is how we have set up a lot of the, you know, some of you that follow us on Facebook or, you know, Twitter and so on, you're starting to see, hey, man, you know, it's kind of changed a little bit. Different things are being emphasized. It may be not as big a flood as it was before, more selective. Pinterest, Instagram, you know, Google Plus, Tumblr, Reddit, Dig, Stumble. I mean, it goes all this stuff that we've had our presence there. And so we opened up accounts. All the guys over the years have done that for, oh, Ernie, you got to have this. Oh, Ernie, you need to do that. Oh, yeah, whatever, you know, go. I'm not a controller kind of guy. Well, now they're sitting there. I got a list, a long ass list of all the passwords and everything. I go, you know what, Alma, here, knock yourself out. Haven't even talked to her. She's going to train me on all the stuff today. After the show, we're going to go ahead and do that. We're going to get the money dome out and just kind of lay it out and see, and I'll probably start constructing it later. And, you know, start doing, we got to make sure it's all in, the pieces are there and everything, so that when we go to the Freedom Fest up here in mid-June, that they want us to come up there and put on the dog, man. We're going to, ooh, here we are. Well, it'll be kind of base operations for a lot of the Freedom guys, and we'll go ahead and have fun with that. Then we'll be going right from there. We'll be flying to Pork Fest and we'll be sharing there and having a good time. Do the show from Pork Fest. Get to hook up with some old friends. But there is another transition of this movement into the real goal of the agorist, leave me aloneist, I can do it on my own, I don't need you kind of mentality. Because everything has always been, you know, even the Free State Project, I mean, it's kind of like an oxymoron right there, you know. We're going to go ahead and, you know, be part of the government. We're going to get elected to the position. We're going to provide the freedom for. We want the sanction of. We want, like, the gay community. We want, you know, to get state approval and recognizing of our marriage and the contract that would, what? You know what I mean? That's the goal. So I understand, you know, the real voluntarist movement. That's why I embrace it so much and try and help. And there's a lot of things that we're working on. Free Aid, I've been a big supporter of them for a long time. From the very beginning, I understood the concept. And I talked to Teresa Warmke yesterday and Garland before and Stephanie. We've had conversations about this. We're going to go ahead and, in support of what they're doing, and still, like, you know, they're over there and peace out. But what we're going to do is we're creating a logo using the Freedom's Phoenix bird as the wings of Caduceus, which is the medical kind of thing. You'll see the wings with the snake around the staff and so on. Don't tread on me, snake and staff and Freedom's Phoenix bird and kind of, and Phoenix Aid. You know, and this will be a movement of people, and I don't care what they do with the logo. There it is. Knock yourself out. It represents, you're just taking care of your neighbor. Won't you be my neighbor? And the, you know, medical community, volunteer doctors and nurses and donated supplies are just doing it. Well, how are they going to do it? I don't care how they do it. They just do it. And we'll support and be an example and inspiration, and you do it. Well, they will go use your artwork to do it. I don't care. Do it. Well, there might be. Do it. Put it on your door of your doctor, kind of, and that means, yep, I know here that I can negotiate for my health care. I know here I can do Bitcoin. I know here, heck, they may not even participate in any government insurance as they're starting to abandon it for cash. movements. I'm about movements. So what we're going to do is try and create and do, and I can see with the Bradley Manning thing and the gay community, the movement was civil rights to begin with. And it's kind of evolved into this, us also, we are king granted certified citizens of the realm with special whatever the heck. Big mistake. Big, huge, major mistake. So we're going to go, when we come back, Alma's going to help us and how we can promote what we're doing in Freedom's Phoenix for the social networking that involves you. And we'll learn about it.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Leaves are falling all around, time I was on my way.
Led Zeppelin, never hurt anybody. You know, this is kind of the feeling that I get when we go to the Jackalope Freedom Festival. Just chilling. And then all of a sudden you crank it up just a little bit and we're out in the middle of the nothing and we just want to, you know, partay. Are we allowed? I don't know. We're going to find out because, you know, during the break I may go ahead and, call the representative of the Forest Service that has been making themselves known to Alma. And I'm going, maybe we'll just ignore them. We'll see what happens. But what are we going to do when we get there? We're still going to rock out. No, you're not allowed. Turn off the music. Here comes the shiny badges. You know, the point that I'm making on this is that, you know, Alma has, you know, been so excited every single event we go to, no matter where you go. She is pumping. There's Alma right there on the video. Hello. Alma is pumping this event, man. She, oh, we're going to this and we're going to that. And I go, no. And she thinks I'm chastising her and I'm just being unreasonable. And I go, no, Alma, you're just going camping with your friends. You're just going camping. It's going to be really big camping. And she's like, no, we're going to this and we're going to that. I'm going, you're just setting yourself up. So what happened? Goes the Monsanto thing. Got all the big tables out there. And you know, it's just like, you know, a plethora of statist bureaucrats around and everything. They go, really? Well, I know in my Obama supporting campaign day law, somebody got a job up there doing shiny badge. And they should be made aware of you agorists out there on public lands. Using you. And I'm going, yep. And here comes the email. How long after Saturday was the event? You probably got done. I remember talking to you like 5 o'clock or something like that. And how long after that before you got the email?
It was that day. I don't know what time the email came in, but it was definitely the same exact day of the Monsanto March event.
Neon, I told you freaking so.
Right.
I mean, were you thinking of me?
Well, I mean,
come on a little bit. You're going there.
I had the man breathing down my back the moment I got there. You got to move your car. You're in an easement. You got to be 25 feet away from the center line of the railroad track.
And but, did I tell you that was going to happen?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because you were worried about putting the dome in the exact location that I set up in.
You know, I'm going, you know, this is, I already see where this goes. That's why I had no interest in going. I'm like, yeah, you guys go. Peace out. Here's all the stuff. I'll help and that, you know, but I'm going to stay and chill with my grandkids. So we have, don't we have Rachel coming on next week or something? You know, oh, she had the Breakfast Club tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow we have the Breakfast Club. Rachel from GMOFreeArizonaAZ.com. She's going to be giving a summary of what happened at the Breakfast Club tomorrow, along with Tony Tangelo, which did Prepper Fest. So he's going to give us a summary of, you know, how that and the, all the alliances and people in contact from the left and right. We're starting to work together now on common interest. Oh, the man's going to be pissed about that. And he's also given a ride from the airport for the Freedom Fest up in northeastern Arizona for Joel Skousen and Chuck Baldwin, Pastor Baldwin. So he's going to be going up. So we're going to be up there. We'll get Dome on. We'll be partying. We're going to have a good time. Then right after that, we're going to Pork Fest. So we're kind of busy. I mean, and we got the magazine going next week, and we do it. I mean, it's just always something to do.
It's nonstop throughout the summer. It's like boom, 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 event, 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 event. It's crazy.
You know, well, fortunately, you know, we have some events that are up in the mountains, because it's going to be 100. You know, this week it's going to hit 108. And I'm going, when it gets over 105, it starts like being hot.
Yeah, it does. It's like really hot. At least it's dry, though. And it's not humid. So when you do go up north and you're camping up there, it's nice. The weather is beautiful.
This is what we're going to do. During the next break, I'm going to go ahead and try and call the PR person again, give them one last try, and we'll record it. And just now, if we come back from the break and it just has all of a sudden they do the intro thing and then I just, you know, hit the button. And, you know, we're talking to somebody, you know, that's what's going on, you know, because I don't want to hang up. If I get her, I'm going to, you know, so we'll have some fun. But they're avoiding us now. What happened was Alma gave me, I go, just send me the email. Don't talk to anybody. Okay. Just send me the email. I'll call them. Freedom's Phoenix. Yeah, we're journalists and reporting. Yeah. And we, you know, participating last year. Everything was cool. And going, I'm, well, what is it that triggered you this time? You know, and then I made an MP3 of that and sent it to Alma. So she's listening over and over, going through and kind of fixing the site. Okay, we won't mention a specific place for vendors. We won't mention a specific place for where you got to camp. Because if it reaches over 75 people, then it becomes a thing. Well, you had 275 likes. So I go, well, that doesn't mean anything.
That doesn't mean people like an idea. That doesn't mean that many people are going to come. I mean,
they don't care.
Oh, well, that's the specifics about it. If they do want to know the specifics about it, just because somebody likes an event on Facebook or likes a page on Facebook, if that's what makes things official, I am making an earth permit tomorrow, and it's official. Here we go.
Okay, so now, hopefully, and you represent, of all these different, I see it happening, it always, whenever there's a great idea or supported thing, regardless of what it is, somebody's always trying to create an organization, group, or event around that and build a thing. And I'm going, no, quit.
Well, I've just been trying to focus on something I want to do. And, you know, other
people. So do what you want to do.
Well, you know, that's exactly what I've been focusing on. I haven't said, we're doing this and we're doing this and this is offered and this is offered. It's like, you know, people are going to bring whatever they bring. People are going to do whatever they do. And I'm not in control or in charge of any of those individuals.
See, you let people take. See, this is what happens. You'll go, we're going to have a stage. We're going to have power. We're going. No, you're not.
I'm.
Now, you say, you know, Alma, I am going and I am going to have this. Then somebody else gets up and they say, you know what? I'm going to bring that. Okay, one less thing I got to bring.
Right.
You know, if you do it that way, then you go, hey, man, I've done this before. You know, we've had to where, I give you an example. We did, on the time we got left here, I can do this. They were banning firearms at rest stops. In violation of the law, they just had up there no guns allowed. Women, 11 o'clock at night, they pull in a remote out in the middle of the desert, nowhere, got to go to the bathroom, and shady characters around, and the guy follows you into the stall. You got panties around your ankles, and he's got a gun, a knife, a rope, and he says, you're mine, and he's right, and you're disarmed. Because the sign said, leave your gun in your car. And I'm like, seriously? That is so stupid. So finally, it became a big deal, and we had a big media thing down at one of the rest stops between Phoenix and Tucson, and we just, yep, we're going, taking our guns for, you know, a visit to the rest stop and get over it. All the media comes. I'm from Tucson. Phoenix are just, you know, just saturated with media. All television cameras there and so on, and we say that. Look, this is a safety thing. One, it's not even the law. They're lying. Well, finally, they backed down and changed the signs and everything, but I get called from the man. Here's the Department of Public Safety, which is the state police, the Highway Patrol. They go, well, Ernie, well, you know, you got to get a permit, or who's the person in charge of, and you're the guy. And I go, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just going to have lunch down at the whatever and with, you know, 500 of my closest friends. Whenever we do that, we never ask permission to go to the state capitol. Do it. We're going, as a courtesy, we're informing you that as individuals, we're coming and bite me. Well, you got to get up. I go, no, I don't. Make my day. Here's my wrist. You want me getting back in the car? We can skip to the end. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to get tased. We just go to court. You want to play? You want to play this game? You want to play? In a nice way. That's how I express myself to the Forest Service.
Have you taken the Smokey Bear pledge? If not, please go to SmokeyBear.com and pledge today for a safer forest in our area. This is the voicemail of Pam Baltimore for the week of May 27th, and I will be out of the office Thursday and Friday. And if this is an emergency, please call my cell phone at 307-399-4699. Otherwise, please leave your message, and I'll return your call on Monday upon my return. Also, you can call our front desk at 928-333-6280 for further information.
Record your message at the tone. When you are finished, hang up or press pound for more options.
Hi, Pamela. Ernest Hancock. We're in the middle of a radio show talking about the Jackalope Freedom Festival, and I just wanted to give you an opportunity to say whatever you're going to say or need to know, or if you've evaluated the site and see that there's not really any problems, just a bunch of individuals going individually, be individual. And I just, if there's a problem, you know, I guess give us a call or send us something. But other than that, we're just going to proceed as if there isn't any reason to be talking to y'all anymore. I can't get a return call, so I guess we're good. Thanks, Pamela. Bye. What?
You've left her a message before, right?
Yeah.
So that is recorded on the video of today's show and everything.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. See, I have another recording left with Mackenzie. Mackenzie was the girl. She was very nice.
Yeah.
You know, they all wanted to be nice. The problem was is that they wanted to, you know, like do their job, whatever that was. And I'm going, look, okay, help me. I'll help you do your. We don't be antagonistic. I'll help you do your job. How did this come to your? Well, you have an event. You mark it as an event. You have like a vendor spaces. You're going to be vending. Well, there you go right there. Oh, my goodness. You know, like money's going to exchange. So you got to make sure you don't have any money. You know, it's going to be silver or you're bartering or whatever, Bitcoin. And you got to have like the money change. We do. That's why we call it the money dome.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the money dome doing the exchange. Oh, no, they bought silver dime cards. That's what the currency here. So you do that kind of thing. So then you can vend. Then you have one campground, that was one thing. They wanted to know once you go over a certain number, then it's, you know, that kind of stuff. So then when you've made the changes on the site, they're like, oh, and they probably Googled Freedom's Phoenix and Ernie Hancock, and they went, maybe we will want to, you know, just let this one go. But expect the man showing up at the Jackalope Freedom Festival.
I know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a couple forest rangers are like at the entrance to Baca Meadows.
Of course.
Like, click, 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 click.
Oh, no.
Click.
They'll probably be, you know, other people go camping. There's other places. There's a lot of places you can go. You know, screw it.
Yeah, a couple things I did to update the Google map was before it looked like, here's this square. We're going to be here in Baca Meadows. But now I'm like open camping here on the whole entire route.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime. 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Show must go on! Show must go on! Yeah! Inside my heart is breaking. My makeup may be flaking, but my smile still stays on.
My smile still stays on. Yeah, it's a show. It's a show. It's a show. It's all a show. You know what? To what? What's the show? The show must go on. Yeah, it's, you know, I tell you who the players are. There are those that, you know, just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. And you think it's more complicated than that, and it is not. That is my point. It is very simple. Once you extract the man from your head, you know, then you're done. And I don't want to keep calling these guys. They don't want to talk to me. I get it. You know, I'm shocked you haven't got more emails. I mean, they made a note. They're like, Oh man, they nutted this up. Ooh, we're supposed to make them feel all nutted up, and they're nutting us up, and we're feeling nutted, and we're gonna ooh. That little piece of paper went up, and you can expect the man's gonna be showing up at the Jackalope Freedom Festival too, which is cool. I don't think they weren't there last time anyway. You know, I know they were. So this is, so what we're going to go ahead and do is we'll have them show up and they'll do whatever the hell they're going to do, and we'll videotape and we'll have fun and keep in track of. And so it'll be fine. But, you know, it's just, I use these examples because I can see where this is going. And, oh, I just want to, Alma, I've been, you know.
So you want to know what I did with the site? You want to know the changes I made?
Go.
Okay, so it used to say where statism, the motto was, where statism comes to die and the free market prevail. That has now been updated to where spontaneous order happens naturally without any force, coercion, or aggression.
Nah. Okay.
It's catchy, and I liked it better because it gives a more positive message anyway. I mean, not like I don't disagree with the first one I had, but...
No, I need it to evolve for me to feel better. Is that it evolves into that we're not against something as much as we're for something.
Right.
Because when you're against something, you're acknowledging that there's something there to be against. It's like you elevate their status. You know, screw them. And that's one thing, you know, as much as I support individuals doing whatever they want, like Adam Kokesh's thing and so on, you know, he would, of course, like, Arizona to have a march and do their July 4th whatever thing. And he was encouraging me to do it. And I'm going... Okay, so what's your plan? Well, he goes on, and it's kind of opposition, you know, to the federal government, and we want to dissolve, and then, which is, I don't need the state to do it. I did it in my head. I'm not, why do I want to, I mean, I encourage people to do whatever, they're on that level of whatever, go get them. I don't care. I'm so far past that in my mind. I don't want to elevate their position of even me being against them. I don't care.
Right.
They go, you know, well, what do you think of us now? But I don't think of you.
Yeah, I mean, he's still working on like a mass awareness type of campaign.
Which is fine.
Which is good because the masses still need to continue being awakened every day with the constant propaganda that the government and brainwashing the government is giving people on a daily basis. So it's important for these people to be out there raising... knowledge about just different issues to the masses. So I encourage more people to do what Adam Kokesh is doing. And I also listened to his whole interview last night with
Alex Jones.
And I liked it a lot. He talked about cognitive dissonance. He talked about the paradigm changing. He just talked about people being enlightened, and the access to the internet is bringing this younger generation to like, their knowledge is just coming to fruition a lot earlier than, you know, it took so many people, so many years and so many generations to get their hands on the right books or get their hand on the right phone tree or whatever it was back in the day. And now this stuff is just at our fingertips. So it's crazy to be living in a time like this, but it's amazing as well. And I really like it.
Well, I'm glad to have, I mean, you were one of the people that, I was hoping to be able to work on what we're doing here. And let's go ahead and talk about what you're doing. Donna, do you have those updated? If you go to today's archive on Freedom's Phoenix, Freedom's with an S, phoenix.com, you go to the radio show, and the top left under the bird there, even if you listen to this later and it's scrolled off the front page, you go to the top left under the Freedom's Phoenix logo, the bird there, you'll see in red on navigation bar there, it says magazine, radio, TV. And if you, that drop down, you go to the radio show and you'll see for today's date, May 31st, you'll see the links in there that she has for all of the social networking that she's done. So you have the quick links there so you can go in and start doing this. Now, we haven't really pushed for a lot of followers on this and followers on that because we're still getting it ready. And I haven't even got trained on how to use it yet. Alma's coming in today for that very reason. We're spending the rest of the day of just me getting able to be able to do this on my Zoom and my tablet and on my Android and on my, whatever in the computer, and be able to kind of chronicle a lot of the stuff that Don and I are doing here. Kind of what John Bush, Catherine Bleich on the Blush Farm, that Yeah, Brangelina.
What they're doing is amazing. And what's awesome is what we're doing here in Phoenix, just, I don't know if this is the right word, it co-aligns so well with what they're doing on trying to become self-sustainable. And this has been one of my personal goals for many years. So I'm excited to be working with Freedoms Phoenix, documenting all this stuff, physically working on building it and bringing more people into the community and expanding their knowledge base on how to support themselves and take care of themselves without the need for any government interaction.
What was your impression? And I was on John Bush, you know, Rise Up Radio this morning talking about this very thing. So we're going to be working together on this. And they've already been writing for the e-zine. We're going to be chronicling what they're doing. We're overlapping because this is what I have been working for. What John and Kat and what we're doing and the inspiration of a lot of the people that are more considered voluntarist that have kind of extracted themselves from this state. We're getting that cancer out of our mind. And that was one that I talked to Larkin Rose last night for a long time. We had a long conversation. And I'm trying to, you know, inoculate the generation next, the junior high kids. They are the ones that, you know, I go and give presentations at schools. It's elementary. They're like, yeah, cool. You know, when's recess? High school kids, yeah, that was cool. And, you know, thanks. And that was neat and everything. And, I already know everything. And if you go to junior high, though, you can get them literally chanting freedom as they're going out of the door.
Well, like Adam said on the interview yesterday, these kids in high school and junior high, they all have smartphones. So their teacher is explaining something to them or teaching them something. And they go on their smartphone and they're like, that's a lie. Next, you know, let's learn something. You know, what's the truth? Let's really learn the history to this or the education behind this.
You know who's doing this? It's Andrew Stremick. Okay, Gwen and Andrew. Andrew's a young actor. He started going back to school. He's in college now. He's taking classes. He's doing be a physical therapist. And as he's in school, he's learning a lot of different things, but they have speech classes, and you have to do papers, or you read different things. Well, it's all on, you know, this kind of stuff, on freedom issues, on the Fed, on, you know, the Levolution, on food, on GMOs, on home birthing, on all, and they're all like, you know, 110%. It's like, oh, my God, you know? So Andrew's like, man, he's got a big head right now, you know, because he's the hero. And you're having this kind of influence on his classmates. So and he's like in his early 30s, so he's not, you know, super young, but they're going, damn, this is the infection. And what I wanted to do, and what I was talking to Larkin about, is, and I talked to Brett over at School Sucks Podcast, I talked to Richard Grove, I talked to Larkin, and I talked to Tim Fry over at Roberts & Roberts, and I'm trying to see if we can come together with something that we could have, like Larkin's two-minute thing, that would be directed at junior high kids, and then have, once you get them into that, well, then they got the School Sucks Project, they got, you know, all the resources and so on, Tragedy and Hope, they got, you know, but if we can inoculate them at an age to where we don't have to fix them later. I don't want to fix them. I want them to not have to be fixed.
Maybe it could be something as easy as standing out front of these high schools with a big giant QR code banner so they scan it on their way out and they're like straight to the website with all the information. Here it is. The end.
No, this is what we're going to do. I told them, I said, you know, I'll tell you where I'd like to do it just to, you know, get it going. We're going to piss off Bloomberg. We'll go to pick one, some school, it'd be a project school in New York City and be right out where the subway empties and say, hello, child, you look 12 here. Okay? So, you know, it's something like that. I mean, we do be creative and do a lot of things because we can print newspapers and newsletters and have the QR codes. And, you know, we can saturate some place and made you look. And then what? I'm done.
Next.
You know, Nick, I got 15 gazillion other projects to do. I'm not trying to build an organization. I'm trying to build a movement. Movement. Okay. Watch me. You know why? Because we have in the past, we'll keep doing it, we always do it, and hopefully others will keep doing it too.
Quantum Vibe, it's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com from Big Head Press.
This your family.
Okay. Alma knows that when you watch the video, you get the behind the scenes, okay? So she's like, we're not going to talk behind the scenes. That's the incentive of people watching the video. If you watch the videos, then you get all the good stuff.
All the good stuff.
In between the thing. All right. So what good stuff you want to share?
Oh, I don't know. There's so many things we could talk about. I want to talk to you more about what John and Kat are doing, because they're trying to raise money for their to continue
their sovereign living
reality TV show. And I think it's something that's really important.
I didn't get to talk to him about this one particular aspect. He said that they're doing their own reality TV show and they're kind of doing it themselves because they can.
Yep.
You know, so I'm like, peace out.
They've created three episodes already.
Now, have you watched them?
No.
Okay, now, have you, what he was saying is that they contacted, you know, some of these reality show like Doomsday Preppers or this, and I don't know whoever they talked to, but they said, when you talk to these guys, they're very interested. They want it, but they want total control. And I saw it happen with the EcoPod aquaponic guy here. They said they we got an application for doing it. You know, from a guy, Dean went to the one of these prepper things over at the Cardinal Stadium, and they're passing out. Oh, Ernie, they want to talk to you. I told them about you, and they're here and fill out the form, and they want. And I go, I looked at it. I got the form over there. I mean, it's like. Like, how many guns do you have, and where are you going to do this, and your bug out? I mean, all this, I go, what are you, CIA? I mean, crap. So their thing was, is when the eco guy, he agreed to do it, and they came over because he wanted to promote aquaponics. They pay for it, you know, the improvements on his home there and whatever, but they get to direct everything. And what they wanted is off his bedroom, they create on the outside, it looks like a chimney, you know, like a stone chimney kind of thing. On the inside, it opens up into a room. So he had a secret panic room that had a trap door that went down to a 2-foot-wide culvert that went out to the backyard to a parking space he had for a Jeep for the alley or
yes,
something.
Yes, please. Yes, please. I want one. Sign me up. Sign me up. I'll trade.
They're like, you know, oh, no. We got it. You know, so the deal, and he didn't give a crap about that. He was like wanting to show his aquaponics. Nope. Be on Doomsday Prepper. You got to be crazy and have a panic room and a tunnel and doing that, and you do that, and then we'll focus that, and you get to keep that, and we might talk about your aquaponics. So he was like in the middle of all this, and they're kind of distracting them, and you got contractors there working. He's going, look, man, I need to get back and do it. And oh, by the way, aren't we going to be talking anything about? Oh yeah, we'll get to it. We'll come back later and do it. So I am like, I'm going. How you feeling about it? And he's like, yeah, we'll see. So that's one of the benefits of us doing this and working with these guys. We'll have already had them up talking about what they're doing, what their real reason was, and if Doomsday goes stupid on them, we'll be able to counter it because they will. They'll do, they just want these guys to be seen as something they're not. But, it's cool. You got a free thing.
Is it Chad from the aquaponics that's going on Doomsday? Or
right. Chad.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. Here we go.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Wake up! Okay. What we want to do is we're going to use this final segment. We're building up to a lot of this. Kind of what John and Kat's doing. And we want to... see, my thing is growing food's like printing money. I mean, it's getting to the economics to where it's cheaper for someone to stay home, raise their children, teach them things about, sustaining life, oh my goodness, more than planting a tomato plant in your freaking milk carton in second grade. And I go, no, there's a lot more to it than that. So we're going to go ahead and chronicle this, and we want to show that a family, if one of the parents stays home and raises the children and grows their own food, you're not paying the extra in taxes. You're not doing daycare. You're getting someone that loves the children and, raising them right, there. Your health is much better. You're getting good food. You save the money on that. I mean, it gets to where the economics is. It's cheaper to stay home and grow food and raise your children and better. And it's gotten to the point to where you can't argue the economics of it. I mean, it's just simple math. And I'm going, so why wouldn't you do it? to get away from the kids. Oh, my God, I can't stand it. I need a break and everything. Okay, well, you can find other ways to do that, seriously. You know, but I see this as the future. And the biggest thing is it takes away from the power of the man, not just in how you're on their grid and the infrastructure, whatever. I mean, literally quit supporting the beast that's devouring you. Where do you think the beast is? Well, of course, it's in the taxes, and we're going to get you in before you even start spending. And then it's where you spend it. On what? Food. Everybody's going to be spending on food, and it's all GMO'd out. I had no idea GMO was so prevalent. I had no idea it was so ubiquitous everywhere. You can't get anything without it being GMO, or sure as heck, you know, fructose corn syrup. So we've been doing a lot of juicing and everything for the past few years. I feel pretty good. You know, so now we started another one that we're going to try and, you know, cure anything that might be lurking out there and be healthy. And so, because I can, I'm getting older. You know, I'm in over 50. So I'm like, you know, what? I don't want to be playing tennis at 80. Of course I do. You know, I might learn tennis. Okay, so this is the kind of thing that we're hoping to accomplish, is be there for our grandkids, healthy, and be able to be active and go outside and go to the lake and go swimming and have fun. You know, that I'm looking forward to this. So we're going to make sure of that. We're going to chronicle it. We're going to demonstrate and show how much you can do in a small, because we already did it over here. We had our little mini farm thing going on over here 2 summers ago. And I mean, damn, it was way more food than we could consume or even can. We learned how to can. We did different additions on this. But the problem is that it took time. I spent more time weeding than anything else. So I'm going, no. Oh, I can get fish too. We can do the aquaponic thing. We can make it small. We can make it a unit. It can be, instructional. And follow how to do it, and then we'll take the time also spend more time in my lab and showing what we're doing there as inspiration. I grow carbon nanotubes for nickel iron battery production. I'm kind of having fun with that. We're waiting for this to be able to, we can start making that part of it. Now Alma comes in and says, now how we're going to chronicle this and make it easy for you to do it so it doesn't become like a big giant ad on the thing, but it's an ad for the readers and the listeners and the watchers, is that we do the social networking thing. Alma's been working on that for a few weeks now. Tell me everything.
Okay, so I have created a Pinterest for you, and when you log into Pinterest, it's really cool because you just see different, you can click on different ideas, and it starts building around your likes and the things that you're following, and you can follow specific boards, or you can follow a person's, all their boards. You can create different boards. For example, I have a Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine e-zine, and there's a list, and it shows all the photos of the e-zine front issues. Along with links to those individual issues. So each e-zine that is released will be updated on Pinterest. So anyone following Freedom's Phoenix on Pinterest or Ernest Hancock on Pinterest will be able to just easily link to that. Sometimes information or news just kind of gets lost in the mix. And if you follow Ernie on these different social networks, the chances of you missing what we're doing on a daily basis here at the farm or in the radio show or at a Freedom event, will be a lot less. So another thing I have is...
Well, it's not just Pinterest. I mean, you got an Instagram thing set up.
There's Instagram.
It's Twitter.
There's
and
live
Facebook
shows.
And
there's live streams. So, like for the Monsanto March, I did a live stream, and I did have issues with my Wi-Fi there, and that is important when you're trying to live stream. But what I was able to do was take video and then upload them as soon as I could connect to the Wi-Fi. So I was trying to constantly update that video, and there is actually a really good Zumba video that I recorded with my HD video camera, and I just put it on Freedom's Phoenix last night.
You know, here on Pinterest, I remember when you and Leo's daughter were, watching us work. But, you're doing your own working by, live streaming us building the domes. I mean, the construction of the conduit. So that, it drags out,
Right.
But I'd like to be able to, take pictures of as I'm doing it and then put little comments on it.
Right.
And kind of pin, this is what we're doing here. This means that. This is a step of that. So this is kind of what we're testing and doing to get to where we can really have good, useful, actionable information that's available to them that comes up. Tell me the difference between Pinterest and Instagram. What
Instagram uses hashtags. So, you can search by subject, and if you put hashtag Ernest Hancock or hashtag Freedom's Phoenix, and you go into Instagram, or there's another one, Padgram, for this, it allows you to view Instagram photos bigger and see the information closer. But the hashtags are like, basically, you're just putting a category. It's like a category. So you search this hashtag, and now everything that has been marked with that hashtag shows up in this huge list of, here's all the stuff that's been
hashtagged. Why a hashtag? That just...
It's basically just marking it as a category. It's categorizing things. Instead of creating individual categories, you know, websites...
It just automatically creates a category.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's hashtag Freedom's Phoenix. It'll put both... to both places?
If you go into Instagram right now and you type in search hashtag Freedom's Phoenix or Ernest Hancock, you will see everything that we've been posting that's hashtagged.
Okay.
Same thing with Tumblr. And that's different because Tumblr, you can post links to articles, photos, video, and there's like a couple other things that you can do on there. And you also hashtag, and you can search subject through Tumblr, and you just get more information, not just photos, but you get information, links to articles and things like that.
Okay, well, Tumblr just went to Yahoo for a good $1 trillion or something. I mean, is it really cool or something?
It's like a blog, and you basically just follow your friends, and they follow you, and that sort of thing. So, but it's more information. Like Angel Clark posts a lot of like meme type photos that have, you know, a picture of Ron Paul, and it has a comment, and she posts a lot of that kind of stuff because those memes, like, people just read them. That's why Instagram's really popular, because it eliminates everything besides photos. So you're just like, a picture says 1,000 words, you know, and you're like, sweet, this is what they're doing. And I also talked to a few friends of mine, people that post on Instagram too much get blocked. So it's really important to post like a photo a day of what we're doing here. Plus, it just keeps drawing people in. They want to keep paying attention to you, and they want to know what's going on.
Okay, so we have automatic propagation of the stuff that goes on Freedom's Phoenix right to Facebook and to Twitter. Have you severed that?
Yes.
It? Okay, so you're just putting up what you think's cool. Or,
yeah, I turned off the RSS feeds. On your profile, I post every morning I get up, and I post the show that's playing. This is live right now. Sometimes I'm a little late. I don't get up exactly at 6 every morning, but I'm like, here's a live show. As soon as the show's over and you guys have documented the videos, I post the videos straight from Vimeo to the different Facebook pages, including Safe Gun Owners, Declare Your Independence, FreedomsPhoenix.com, and your personal profile page. And sometimes I'll go on
Agris. I have a personal profile?
Yes, Ernest Hancock. So, and sometimes I'll go on Agris Marketplace and also the Love Not War page that Drew and I started a long time ago. And I'll post like my favorite portion of the video that day.
Okay, so what we're doing is we're going to learn more about this and how, when we get it done, you know, at the top of the front page of Freedom's Phoenix, you'll see we have, you know, follow us on in the social networking thing, join us on our social networks, and it has Facebook and Twitter. But what we'll go ahead and do is we'll expand it and get it all worked up and easy for you to participate, because a lot of these will make it easier for you to see what we're doing in a shorter period of time and more concentrated on certain projects. That's why we want to do it. So we're getting it all set up. Alma's helping me out with it. When we go to Pork Fest, there's going to be a lot of people there doing it. I have some ideas, and we'll link up with them. We'll get, and then when we're ready, it'll be like, declare your independence. Again, in the July, we're going to make a big stinking deal out of everybody getting all hooked up and participating, and it'll make it a lot easier for you to learn how effective we're going to do this freedom thing.